AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve the entire southeastern Pennsylvania area, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. If you live in those areas, to help us include more people in the types of good work that we're doing, I ask that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in, then sit back, relax, and enjoy. If you received our email this morning, forward it to a family member or friend, because this is why our guest list continues to grow. Also, if you're on the internet, check us out on our internet site and look at the many links that we have to offer. We're really trying to do our best. As you know, 2018, we've been encouraging America's businesses to highlight on their labels and packaging that their products are made or assembled here in the United States of America. And I'm really pleased to say that everywhere I go, I am seeing more American flags, more red, white, and blue labels, and we're seeing more people speaking up in behalf of American workers. And of course, that'll help America's economy. With us today, we have our very distinguished panel. And they include Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store. I want to also welcome Larkin Connolly, who is a national small business advocate, very knowledgeable, always very helpful with his opinions. And Rich Logis, of course, the principal of RJL Technology, the man with many, many good statements about what's really on his mind. I want to also thank our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky. Last week, joining us was Shane Maziash. We're very happy that he was with us. And also, I spoke to Curtis Ellis this morning, and he's out and about today on the American First Project with America's American Job Alliance. So a great big thanks to Curtis for all of his help. And as you know, he also has a weekly commentary come out. And I want to mention also that Rich Logis has his weekly radio shows. And you can click on Rich's face on the front page of American Workers Radio and go to his show. And Mark Andel, of course, what more can I say? This guy is unbelievable. It shows what can happen when you're focused and consistent. And that's certainly what Mark has been for 8 years. And all of his life, he's been the director, Seth Kitty says all the time. But in the last year, he showed us that you can do something in a positive way if you keep your eyes focused on moving forward. Mark also has a radio show, and you can link on to that simply by clicking on the link that's under his emblem, the Made in America store. It goes to the radio show. So check them out. All of these people working together. As I said many times, and as I say to people in my travels, there are people who like to listen to jazz, others like to listen to rock, some like all talk radio. And I think everyone likes broadcasts like American Workers Radio because we're looking out for Americans and America's future. With that in mind, I'm going to ask Mark to open up the show today and tell us a little bit about what you were doing. We missed you last week.
How you doing, Mike? And I think we got Rich and Larkin, Henry, Shane, if you're in studio. Welcome, and listeners. Mike, we've been busy. We came out, of course, we had a great 4th of July, and then we went to our Jam in the Valley, which is a big country concert, 3-day event. And we have a store there, and our demographics, so you get 20,000 great Americans together to celebrate America's birthday. So we had a great time. My team did an awesome job. And then I took a few days off and did some fishing with the kids and up to a small lake in New York. So a great time away, paying for it now, Mike. But a lot of things are going on, Mike. Good things. Our new shirt I released. I'm going to suit you guys up. I'll need your sizes, but it's basically the Made in America store on front. But on the back, it says it's just common sense, Mike. It's just common sense. Buying Made in America, supporting the country you live in, getting fired up, making things as cool. We are rocking and rolling, Mike, with work and business, and great things are going on. If you don't see that on TV, shut off TV, because
shut it
it's
off.
Happening. You know, Mike? So a lot of good things. I had a great visit yesterday from a Texas crew I met through Ricky Lee, and it's called Gallery Furniture. The owner's name is Mac, and if you look him up, even the listeners, Mac, Jim McVale owns Gallery Furniture, three huge stores and up in Houston, Texas, and he flew two guys up. I was told to call him, and you only get 5 minutes with Jim or Mac. 30 minutes later, I got the guy fired up a little bit, Mike. We're from the same fabric, but he doesn't just sell furniture. 7 years ago, he made a decision to sell Made in America furniture. He was sick of the getting the containers from overseas. You get the lamps, but you get the beds a month later. He said, heck, I'm going to build them in our own country. Well, he went further than that. 140,000 square foot stores, 1 million cubic square foot warehouse. And in Houston, Texas, and he ships that day. If you're in Texas, you get your product that day. If not, 7 days. Anywhere in the United States of America, he'll ship you the furniture. He went to Ohio, and he suggested the Amish. He helped build it, and he grew the Amish community in Ohio. And it's an unbelievable story. He's 95% made in America. He ships the product complete. All his own trucks in his own country. Mikey does it. And he sent his two head guys up to see me yesterday. They were more than fired up. They didn't know what they'd run into. And, you know, 6 hours later, I made them dizzy. And, you know, he said me and their owner, their boss, is the same fabric. But great company, shows what great Americans can do. And we are tying more and more people like Mac out of Houston, Texas. And one story I want to bring up with Mac, the owner of Gallery Furniture in Houston, Texas. You know, during Hurricane Harvey, all the Texans came together, all the Houston people came together to help people. Well, Mac opened up all his stores, his furniture stores, so people could live in them. He has a full cafeteria. He fed them. He gave semis of mattresses day after day after day and personally loaded them with his whole team. This guy gives back, Mike, so it's worth bringing up on our show. Mac Gallery Furniture, we're going to be tying. He wants a store, a Made in America store, in every one of his furniture stores. So great things to come. We are on the move.
That's, oh, my God, Mark, you cheered me up today. Man, I'm going to tell you something. It's happening. It's happening.
And you know, got to make it happen. You got to believe.
The people are making it happen, not the national leaders.
Exactly.
And the press. Nobody in the press is really caring about the people. They're just caring about filling time. In fact, I'm pleased to report that more and more people are talking about jobs in America. None of this crap on the TV is of any interest to them. And I encourage everybody that I see come to the center or meet in my travels, call their local, state, and national elected leaders, both Democrats and Republicans, independents, and demand that they focus all their efforts on jobs and futures for Americans. You know, when people tell me they've never made contact with their elected officials, I'm like, why not? I say, this is why America is where we are today, because people did not allow this to happen. They went to the polls, they put the person in, and then they forgot about him until the next election. That's why America's hurting today.
Mike, before we bring the other guys, I just want to say one thing. With this Gallery Furniture, the two head buyers and the assistant to the owner flew in yesterday. You know, this Mike Norris was 50 years in the furniture business that came up. He's the head buyer for Gallery Furniture out of Houston. He worked the East Coast. He's been to China every week for his last company. He knows furniture inside and out. He can't believe the companies he's seen go dark, the manufacturing facilities go dark, up and down the East Coast, throughout the country. He cannot believe what he witnessed, and he's about 70-something years old, and he watched it happen, Mike. And to see this guy, this owner in Texas, with these 140,000 square foot furniture stores, and on his card it says Mac, professional listener. He takes customer service to the nth degree. But this Mike Norris watched this country's furniture go overseas, and to see a guy that cares in Houston like this Mac bring back furniture at a level of $200 million a year is incredible. So it's a great statement that it can be done if you believe and love your country.
You're right, and Mark, some of these furniture companies that I go around to and talk just to them why they're not supporting more American-made. First of all, many of the investors in the furniture business in America are now foreigners.
Exactly.
And they are foreigners, so who are they going to support? Another thing which is very interesting, a lot of the wood that they're using for the furniture that they're importing to America is coming from other countries, Canada and all these other places. So we have so much lumber in America. Let's use it more wisely.
Yep.
Focus on what we have.
Because it's made in America, and he ships it on his own trucks throughout the country. And any truck that goes to the East Coast, West Coast comes back with something. He's logistically savvy and just a great, great man. But he's proof it can be done at a large scale. And he wanted to do it 7 years ago. He got disgusted with dealing with overseas, especially with China.
Oh, my God. Mark, thank you. You started the program off great, and it's everybody listening will love it, and those that listen to rebroadcast will love it. And I know there's somebody else has a good comment for me today. Rich Logis.
Hey, Michael. Hey, guys. Mark, welcome back. Larkin, our listener, Shane, how you doing, guys? You know, Michael, I want to tell you, every episode of the Rich Logis Show, it's Mondays and Wednesdays, I always have this segment. I call it the American Hero segment. And what I do is I feature someone who's not really nationally known, maybe someone in history, maybe someone in the present day, law enforcement, military, EMT, could be civilians who step up. There's going to, like, Mark is deserving. Mark's deserving of that American Hero segment. I really mean that, Mark, and I've told you this before in the air, that politically speaking, Michael, in the country, as the new brand of America First politics begins to develop, because so many people around the country thought that 2016 would fade away. You know, they thought, oh, it'll just, if it's a fad, people want a new car smell, and it'll just fade away, and it's a bump in the road. And what all those people who said that, you know, Democrats, Republicans, and all these other people, what all those people have realized, Mark, is that it's not only not fading, it's strengthening.
Yes.
So Made in America is going to be right at the forefront, Michael.
And, you know, Rich, you're right. And you know what is the sad part of it? All of us, the common American people, not paid to do this, are doing the job while the politicians are watching and saying, hey, maybe we should have jumped on this bandwagon 10 or 15 years ago. They have done very little. And anybody listening, I hate the fact when people say to me, I'm really afraid to call because they'll ask me questions. They want to know all the information. I said, what? What's the problem? They should know that they have a constituent that is concerned and is able to speak up, willing to speak.
Michael, can I say something? I'm sorry to interject. Let me just say something. And this is nonpartisan. And I'm hoping Larkin might back me up on this. What you just said, Michael, you're referring to the politicians, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me just say something for any politician out there who's listening. It doesn't matter your party. I don't care. If you're an elected official and you're afraid to be around people, I got news for you. You're in the wrong business. I just got to tell you, you're in the wrong business, because that's exactly the thing, Michael, that the mindset of the American voter, the American consumer, that's where it's starting to change. Because over time, like you pointed out earlier, over time where people have just, they were asleep at the wheel, they weren't paying attention, and then we have elected officials at all, you know, any level, doesn't matter, and they're afraid to come on because someone's going to ask them a question. Well, that's your constituents. They have a right to ask you a question, Michael. That's your job. That's
yes.
What you do.
Make yourself less available, and you'll have less problems is the motto they have. And I'll tell you one thing, you have no idea, this is going to be a very brutal fall. a very brutal fall, because I think that all of us are going to have to get involved with local, state, and national elections. All of us. We have to stop playing this game. This one is doing this. The unions want this. The non-unions want that. It's got to be more speaking up for the American people. Rich, we allowed this to go on for 30 years unchecked. Today, we're over $20 trillion in debt. We have tens of millions of people out of work. Don't listen to what they're saying about the people on the televisions that, oh, there's the unemployment is down and all. We have many people who've been out of the work for a long time. People who were parents, ready to get back, watching their kids, taking their kids to school, want to get back into the workforce. We have tens of millions of people in this country that want a job. We want those jobs back in America, period. Yes, Larkin.
Yeah. Michael, you hit that, you hit that nail right on the head. And so did you, Rich, I do agree with you. But the fact of the matter is that the world changed, in my mind, guys, around the 1980s, when all of a sudden major corporations started to balance their books with their human capital.
Human capital, that's right.
Never before had I ever heard, and I was at the time, I was running a Gulf Oil subsidiary. Never before had I heard a comptroller call me up and say, we're off by this many dollars. Your contribution should be this, but we want to double that. So reduce your workforce by 7%. They were actually using people to balance the books. And that started and it became popular in the 80s. How simple is this? All you got to do is give them a pink slip and you've just reduced your payroll by and your benefits and every other burden that you have as far as employees are concerned by that which is associated by every person that you lay off. I mean, it's just incredible. Around the same time, politicians started to realize, you know what, this isn't a bad gig. This really isn't. I mean, I'm making $176,000 a year. I got $1 million office budget. I fly first class. I do whatever I want. And all I got to do is get reelected every 2 years, which is in and of itself is a farce. And, you know, it just amazes me that now we're looking at the other day when I was watching the FBI hearings, I'm sitting there trying to average out the age of all of the senators and congressmen. It was a joint hearing of their age. And I'm going, oh, okay, that's Feinstein. She's 84. What's going on here? 84 years old and she's still a senator. I don't get it. I truly don't get it. But they've turned it into a career. And nobody that had anything to do with the original Constitution wanted politicians, senators, congressmen to be career politicians. The two words just don't play together at all.
The bottom line of what you're saying, Larkin, is we've lived through years of politicians taking and doing very little. It was a concern about themselves, not others, not the American people or America's economy. Also, and as far as the president's concerned, I want a president and all national elected leaders, all state leaders, and all local leaders who are paying attention to their constituents, their neighborhoods, their states, their roads, the people that are employed, paying attention to America, the American people, the American economy, not worrying about everybody else. Too many people wanted to be nice guys over the years, and look what they did. They put us in debt. Now we're in debt that no one will be able to get us out of. And Americans should always be the place that's known for this is where you're able to be fully employed. How did all of this change, Larkin? How did it? Why did it happen? You mentioned about the 80s. That's how many years ago? Why wasn't it stopped in the, by 85?
Because everybody was, I don't know, nobody was paying attention. You know, you take your eyes off the road, and I can almost guarantee you, if you take your eyes off the road for any given length of time, you're going to have an accident. Something's going to go wrong. And I think they allowed that. But I want to propose something. This is a new idea that struck me the other day, and I'll make it very quick. I think congressmen and senators elected by their constituents should report directly to the governor of each state. They shouldn't even gather in Washington, D.C. There's no need for them to go to Washington. All the congressmen, two senators and 15 congressmen typically for a state like Pennsylvania, report to the governor, and they conduct the business with the governor.
I like that, Larkin.
That is a wonderful idea.
Of that governor being elected governor of the state, he goes to Washington, D.C., with 51 other governors.
And they sit in the presence of the president and the vice president and all of the department heads, and everybody talks normal, everyday stuff.
They get Shinola done. They get Shinola done because the brightest, smartest, most successful people in this country are our governors. You know it. I know it. Everybody should know it. They're bright, bright people, and they need to go to and just like we had a gentleman's house in Pennsylvania until I don't even know when that changed. You know, the House of Representatives and the state senators, they got together in Harrisburg for 3 months and then went home to their jobs. Now all of a sudden it's a career position, and it's not what was intended by our forefathers. Making politics a career. No, sorry. There is no such thing.
Mark, and I love that idea. And then people that went back, they worked 3 months, government went back, they actually stayed in the game. They knew what was going on. They knew what they were talking about. They knew what people were going through.
And you know, Larkin, you're right, because I will tell you this, there are some politicians, and they're very clever, and the reason I am saying this is they never respond to anyone for any reason, in writing, in person, whatever. And as a result of that, they're never held accountable for anything. That's got to change. Boy, if this has not been the bull situation in this country for years. You know, you're right. Why can't the politicians meet twice a year in Washington? That's fine, but they report to the governor. They would have to go into the local boroughs and the towns where they're representing all these congressmen and see what the hell is going on.
And rather than going to Washington, D.C. as a Democrat, Republican, Green Party, liberal, libertarian, they go to Washington, D.C. as Pennsylvanians.
Very good. Ooh, I love it. Larkin, that is a wonderful idea.
Yeah, that governor, the owner of that state, he collects just like an ownership. When I do, all my managers report to me, that governor goes. Collects all the information and then supports, owns that state.
Yep.
Oh, Larkin, that is a very good idea. I'd like to hear from some people on that. In fact, if you'd like, send it to your thoughts to michael@americanworkersradio.com. That's michael@americanworkersradio.com. I love that idea, Larkin. And you know what? They say, that by the time they travel to Washington back and forth, that's so strenuous and all. I could see, what's her name, Feinstein running back to California on those planes and all. And it's very mind-boggling for her. If she only had to go twice a year, it wouldn't be so mind-boggling. Going home for the weekends, forget it.
I promise you she has no idea what's going on in the streets of San Francisco. I mean, no idea. She is so insulated and so off track and so protected and so much omnipresent. Ask her, find out where her home is.
How does she know about American Workers other than the people who are assisting her in her house or in her office? How does she know anything about American Workers? It really should be mandated that you spend a certain amount of every week within your own district. Sometimes I call, I have to return a politician's call, and the story is, oh, so-and-so is working in the district today. Then when I call them back, or they call me back, they say, yeah, I needed a little getaway, so I went to Florida for 4 days. So I said, well, they told me you were in the district. Well, I don't want to say I'm in Florida because I don't go, but three times a year. I thought to myself, that's a nice gig. But the thing is, they don't care. They really don't care.
Right.
I think, Rich, you said it, or Larkin said it a few years ago, getting elected is like winning the lottery. One of you said that, and that's the truth. Because once you're in, you don't have any worries for 2, 4, or 6 years.
And 2 years is ridiculous. I mean, stop and think about it. You're gonna get sworn in as a congressional congressman or woman from upstate New York. And by the time you get to Washington, D.C. and you're sworn in, you're voting on legislation that you're going to have to respond to in 2 years. In 2 years. People don't forget what happens in 2 years. You can't do what has to be done without having to face the special interest groups. And it's just not fair. And nobody should be elected for 2 years. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I think they ought to serve for four. I think senators should serve for six. And I think the president should serve also for six. Now he's going to get something done. Now they have room to move and time to make decisions that, even if they're not popular, are the right decisions. And, you know, our politicians face that every day, making unpopular decisions. A lot of them refuse to make unpopular decisions because they know that decision that they made is going to come to roost when they run for re-election.
That's right. And Larkin, American Workers been suffering for years and years with everybody focusing on everything else but the American worker, the American family, and the American taxpayer. Look at the amount of welfare programs that had to be instituted because workers didn't have jobs. Many of the people that I speak to, I work in human services, they say, I don't want to be in this. This is not the way life is supposed to be. I have no other place to go. I can't afford job training programs. I can't afford anything. So I sit back quietly and accept my situation. Now, there is a difference happening. In the last year, and it's not only giving President Trump a little credit here. In the last year, people are saying, I see something changing in America, the mood of the American people. I see businesses, you know, some of the small businesses in the strip malls are having difficulties because of so many people shopping on the internet. But I see people starting to support one another. And like you say all the time, it's important to support American made. I am seeing more items with little flags on them and all. Nobody restricts the use of the American flag. I'm encouraging, I'm pleading. This whole year we've been begging people to put some kind of additional information on their labels that they're made in America. This is what influences people. Shows like this and many others that are now coming into the picture promoting American made are starting to unite the people more than ever. I'm tired. People tell me I can't listen to a lot of these national media people. It's all negative, negative, negative. Tell me something positive. Give me a solution. How did this happen? Tell me that, and then we can talk about it. But nobody wants to do that.
Yeah. You know, Michael, if I can just say something again as a credit to Mark. If you listen to Mark since last year, I will back him up on this. I will further back him up with a lot of my customers, many of whom are small business owners. To listen to Mark right now to listen to other small business owners who are the engine that drive America's economy. America's economy in the post-industrial age is driven by small business. Larkin knows that better than anybody here because he advised all those small businesses. Does anyone think that it's a coincidence that all these small business owners right now are saying, you know, things are looking good? Capital markets are starting to open up. Some of my customers, Michael, they've been able to obtain some financing. The phone's ringing a little bit more. They had to hire some people. So does anyone think that Mark Antle sat around and said, okay, here's what I'm going to do under 8 years of President Obama. I'm going to pretend that business isn't good because I don't like the guy. Does anyone really think that? Of course not. And look, Michael, I don't have a problem to say, you know, President Obama was in office for 8 years, right? So I don't. It's fine. I can't tell you exactly how much, but fine. I don't have a problem. You know, whatever. Maybe he did some things that had a residual effect, helped the economy a little bit. No problem. We'll give him a little bit of credit. But does anyone really think that right now what's happening has more to do with 96 months of the prior administration compared to the 17 months of right now? And to get the economy going was the single most important issue. And there were a lot of important issues, Michael. And it's also why when Larkin always says on this show, when he says that politics, all politics are personal and local, all the local stories, Michael, that you see in and out of the country right now that affect what's going on in small businesses, those direct working families' lives directly. Washington, they have no clue. They are. I wouldn't hire Washington to sell parachutes to skydivers, Michael. I wouldn't. I really wouldn't. I'd say, what do you want to? I have a skydiving business. You know, I need a guy to sell parachutes. I look at, well, where are you from? Oh, I'm a congresswoman or woman in San Francisco. San Francisco, Democrats have been running San Francisco for 14,000 straight days. No, I'm not going to hire you. You guys got to really listen to what Mark and Larkin say, because when you get the pulse of things, Michael, with small business and those business owners are feeling good about things, things are on the up and up, it is a good sign. Look, the president, and look, I'm a supporter of the president. I make no mistake about that. Or no, I don't hide behind that. But he's building up the economy the right way by manufacturing and production, yeah. not through the nothingness of the financial crash that we all endured a decade ago. And who knows better, Mark? Right, Mark, you know this better than anybody. How busy are you right now, Mark, compared to a few years ago? A lot busier, aren't you?
You know, Rich, you bring up a great point, because with over the last week or so, I've been upstate New York all around talking to all different people. And out of that, we talk about busyness. And it's incredible. Of course, my military work, in 2 years, by the end of this year, we'll have as many units that I did in 20 years, which is incredible. Oil mining. We are back. Everybody, if I talk to the Houston boys, one thing neat with the Houston Story Gallery furniture, what do they want to put in their, each one of their 140,000 square foot stores? A school to teach skilled trades. This guy, it was unbelievable. I brought up Sherman McLeod, what he's done to them, and they want to know everything. They took my matrix back. They took everything. This guy, Mac, doesn't just sell furniture. He believes in everything we do, Mike, and our team here. We talked, I was in Upper State New York, this depressed area, Amish moving in. They can't. Everybody led to the same problem. The country is growing right now so fast, but no workers. I say we need skilled workers. I tell the story, what we do in schools, what we're doing on the radio. They said, well, just workers, Mark. We need anybody to work. And then up in Upper State New York by Watertown, they said, find me a worker that isn't on drugs, Mark. All these problems, our president that has backbone, that isn't worried about the popular vote, isn't worried about getting elected next time, is taking care of business. Because of that, we are busy, and people have to start waking up and seeing and listening. You know, again, on this Gallery Furniture's Matt Card, it says professional listener. You got to listen to what's going on out there, Rich, and that's what you're talking about. Listening to the business owners. We are busy. Never seen nothing like this in 10 years. And it's beautiful, but we can't find workers. We got to answer these problems: the drug problem, the worker problem, the skilled trade, the lack of education. You know, training our kids and giving them another choice and a purpose. All these things have to be addressed, and we'll keep moving forward. But the media, if you don't know it's corrupt at this point, it's fake news. You don't know it's a big game. I can't tell you. Shut that TV off.
Shut it off. And you're right. It is fake news.
Absolutely.
Mark, here's a question I want to ask you. You have how many people living in your direct area? How many of them are people would have graduated high school or college in the last 10 years? And how many of them are able to join not only one or two types of parts of the labor force, but many types? This is where the problem comes in. When you give people many opportunities in school, whether it's industrial arts or you're doing all any technologies or trades, you at least let them go out of the school with some kind of a future behind them. Right now, the school boards are saying, it's going to cost us a fortune to bring back the trades. Where are we going to get the money for that?
Yeah. You know, Mike, guys, last night I had a group come. And it's called the Empire State Antique Truck Association. Didn't really know what to expect. Said the guy, you could use our facility. Made in America. God bless you. Bring your vehicles. Have hot dogs. Use my grill. Whatever you want to do. So he comes at 6. I'm a little late doing payroll. Jump across the street. General Welding's located right across the street from the Made in America store. I go across, and they're waiting for me to do a speech. And I didn't know that. So I gather them all together, and 40 people, Mike. And do my bus story. Tell them what happened to me. My parents grew up poor. Hey, had a great erector set kid, built a great business, and the bottom fell out in 07, 08, 09. Went from 70 employees to 30 employees. China took half my business. Blah, blah, blah. Tell them the whole story. Now we're 8 years strong. Made in America matters. 800th bus is going to come in August. These guys were blown away. I thought they knew my story. They were West New Yorkers, but all 40 people, men, women, they weren't only collecting cars and having a good time. They were all business owners and farmers and doers and Americans. Everyone I talked to, three of them had fabrication facilities. One of them had a truck equipment shop. All different businesses. You know, we talked about the new children, the millennials and whatnot. How are they going to run the country? They can't talk to each other. They're looking at their phone. We live life through our eyeballs. They live it through a screen. We talked about the skilled worker shortage. Nobody has the want. We talked about, you know, the depression or people in Virginia that, you know, the kids went to school one day and then the kids missed school the next day so the other kids in the family could go because they didn't have the clothes and shoes to share. We talked about everything, Mike, last night and everything we talk about on this radio. But there's a lot of fear, but they're all workers and farmers and doers, but they're afraid there's no skilled workers. There's no true Americans. They're afraid for the future of this country. And these are the people you got to get together and talk.
I agree. You know, and this is school boards have a big say in this, Larkin. I'm sure you'll agree. Right now, if you look behind many of the skilled workers, for the people who are going to follow them, there's no one there.
Nah, we talked a ton about that.
And this is a scary thing because school boards have been meeting. All the money is being appropriated in all the state legislatures across the USA. No focus. It's just the school board needs 2% more. It needs 3% more to do what? I want to know.
Mike, we talked about arrogance, entitlement taking over. It talked in Europe, in Germany. We also talked about prison's a better choice for a lot of people. That's a problem. You know, they get the square meals a day and whatnot. We talked about the welfare checks, the handouts, the safety nets we created. There's so many issues that should be talked about if we had real news programs.
You know, in some countries, Rich, you would know this better than most people. In some countries, it's mandated that you give 15 to 18 months after graduation to your country before you move on to a job. I know that they do that in Israel and some other countries. After the draft was taken away in America, we had a lot of problems because people were just, you know, able to do as they choose. They had no loyalty to the government. I see that the people who are veterans, the people who served our country, not only in the military and the Peace Corps and some of these other programs. They are very well-rounded people. I have to give them credit.
And I'll take loyalty over smarts any day.
I would like, you're right, Lark, I'd like to see some kind of a national effort restored that you give. If you're in college, maybe you could do a certain amount of weekends, sort of a National Guard type unit where you go once a month for 2 days. Something has to be done to recreate loyalty to America. And for that, you could get some benefit in the future, whether you're going on to higher education or whatever. And I want to say this to you guys, too, and then I'm going to sit back and keep quiet. I want to know what you think of this. There was a conference of business people in Philadelphia, and we had a lively discussion. And one of the things that was discussed, I said to them, can you tell me, you're here with the business meeting, why can't you suggest to your senators, when you go back to your individual states, that training people on the job should be tax deductible to your business because you are helping a young person, a middle-aged person, an older person to get a job and keep a job within your industry, within your organization, within your business?
I'll tell you, training is very expensive, Mike.
It is, but can it be partially or totally tax deductible over a period of 3 years?
That would help because you can't even find truck drivers. The number one shortage is truck drivers. You got to train them, but how do you do that? I invest in my welders, and we want qualified craftsmen. It's a lot of money, so we pay their schooling, but we ask them to do it on their time. It's hard to pay them and, you know, pay them per hour and pay for their schooling.
Well, you know, Mark, if people are on welfare and other programs because they don't have jobs, yet there are industries who could train these people to be in that industry, why aren't they given the money that that person would receive on welfare to train that
That's a heck of a it would work there's job to work programs I've been involved with. Sherman McLeod comes in my talks a lot.
Oh, unbelievable done. Guy. Unbelievable
what
guy.
What he's doing and letting people use their welfare check over a 9-year period, a city block training skilled workers in 6 months, incredible. Using latest technology, incredible person with a big heart and cares enough to do it.
And there, who in our city or even in any surround is coming forward to say, let's bring Sherman McLeod. Maybe we could take and make 5 more facilities like this.
Who cares enough, Mike, instead of caring about their self?
That's the problem. This is the problem, and this is something we're going to have to address in the fall big time. Big time because people are influenced. As I hear from the people who say, I love my jazz and this and that, but I also love hearing you guys talk on the radio. It's like reminds me of some guy sitting at a diner fighting it out or discussing it out. You know, what do you think of that idea? I mean, start promoting. I'm going to mention it to Curtis. Why can't we take some people like Sherman is, and if there is an employer that could find that person a job within their business, why can't they be given a tax deduction to get that person trained to be in their business? Larkin, tell me.
Well, there's no reason why you can't do that, none whatsoever, except that it makes too much sense.
That's why you're getting my shirt.
Yeah, way too much sense. You know, and there would be a million reasons why we shouldn't do that. And I want to mention something else just as an aside. I've got to get this off my chest. Our president had a very, very rough visit over in Europe. It was just tough all the way around. I think he probably said a couple of things that he wishes he could take back. But that happens. I felt like giving him a call the other day and telling him just 2 or 3 of the verbal faux pas I had made in the last 3 weeks. We have a tendency to do that. And just by style, he doesn't study a lot of stuff. He goes in knowing what he wants, believing that he's smart enough and good enough a negotiator so that the people that go in with him are probably as much in the dark as you and I are about what he possibly can say. That's the activity of a non-politician. He's not a politician. He hasn't come up through the ranks and been a city councilman, then went from city council to the county commission, from the county commission to the House of Representatives statewide, to the state senator, to the congressman, to the senator. You can follow the path of half of these people who learn in this process how to BS everybody in the world without you knowing that you're being BS'd. So he had a bad trip, no question. When he got back, I think he kind of wanted to hit himself in the head with a hammer because it was not a good visit. But when we talk about remarks made on foreign soil, did anybody see Obama yesterday?
I did.
Did anybody see Obama speaking in a different continent?
Yes, I saw it. I just turned it on for 15 minutes, and I happened to see it. I didn't have much television time. This is what the news has created in the world.
There you go, Mike. Yep.
The world, not only in America, in the world. People hating people instead of loving people, instead of us being one big world happy family.
Rich made a name for that. He branded that media complex there.
Yeah, you know what, Larkin, I agree. The president, but there's something that is very, very unfortunate about the situation. Whenever I go somewhere, I have a policy statement. That policy statement should have been given out. And then you discuss upon the agenda of the policy statement. And this is something, no matter what happens, and you can hand out that policy statement to all the press people. And this is where we stand on this particular issue. Whatever is said during the meeting, that's fine. But the thing is, the witch hunting, the hate, whatever they're calling it, there's too much hate going on. The people are being influenced to hate and not to love. Whatever he said there, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm worried about what this man is going to say and what he's going to do and who he's going to bring in from all the elected people, Democrats, Republicans, and independents, what he's going to do to keep America moving forward, keep American moving first.
I think he's just got a big front windshield.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about Larkin's point, though, Michael, is that, and Larkin, please correct me on this point here, so I don't mean to speak for you, that one of the absolute singular best thing about President George W. Bush, I was not a big fan of President Bush in office, although he was a big military guy, which I did like. But post-presidency, Larkin, how many times did he say a single thing about President Obama? To my knowledge, zero.
Never. No, he's
to my knowledge,
perfect.
Zero. I you won't find it, Michael. Okay, you want now when presidents take office, you know, it's politics. They're always saying the last guy or the last two guys screwed up and I got a queen. That's just politics. Everybody says that. But in this case, the rules of engagement have changed. Because you have prior administration officials, including the president himself, who not only speak in the United States' borders, but go overseas. They go into other countries and say the things they say to disparage and undermine what the current administration is doing and saying. Now, do we think, Larkin, do you think that George W. President Bush sat silent for 8 years because he agreed with a lot of what President Obama was doing? Of course not. He respected that. He did.
He won the election, and he's in. That's it, period. What did you always say, elections?
Michael, that's the problem, though, with the people who lost in this election. You see, the people who lost in this election, they cheered when President Obama said in 2009 that elections have consequences. And President Obama was correct. I won, you lost, I don't need to work with you. Republicans I knew were so angry about that. But I said, well, he's correct, though. Now fast forward to 2016. Well, elections still have consequences. So the losing side, the problem, Michael, is when we have right now in the country, which is a growing problem, we have a segment of our population that's in the millions and growing that have rejected the most basic tenet fundamental of our country, which is the peaceful transfer of power. this isn't about policy differences, and this isn't about I would do it this way and not do it that way. That's not what this is about. The most basic pedestrian fundamental foundation of this country is about the peaceful transfer of power. And now you have a group of people who are committing violence, some of them, because they don't like the outcome. That right there is a burgeoning constitutional crisis in this country. And I'm sitting here wondering, you know, Larkin, I'll be honest, I'm sitting here wondering, thinking, are the Dems who lost in 20, are they going to ever accept losses again? Do you guys notice it's always some grand conspiracy theory when they lose? When President Bush was elected, he was installed as a Manchurian candidate by the five Supreme Court justices who stopped the Florida recount. You guys remember that story, right, Michael? That's what was said.
That was the hanging chads.
Hanging chads.
And now years later, you know, President Trump is installed as a Manchurian candidate by Vladimir Putin. Now, did Russia meddle in the election? They did. Did they influence the
outcome? Wait, Richard, wait. I want to clarify.
Michael, here's another question I want to ask you. Is this the first presidential election in American history where other countries meddled in it? Do we really think that?
Let me say, I think that every country meddles in other countries' elections.
I don't like it.
It's not, I wouldn't say that it's definitely the Russian president or the American president authorizing it. I mean, Russia has a big amount of people. It could be anybody doing it. America
has a big amount of
people. It could be anybody hacking somebody else. Did Julian Assange and all these other people, you know, get authorization from the Congress and the Senate to do this stuff? No, they did it on their own.
So if this isn't the first time that other countries, which I'm not defending doing it, if this is not the first time that other countries have meddled in our elections, then maybe we should go back and inspect if President Obama benefited from meddling on two terms. Maybe, how do we know he didn't benefit? How does anyone know that? Because the same people telling us who are rejecting the fact that you and Mark Andel and so many other people around the country made a conscious will of the people decision. And the opposing losing side is saying that your democratic decision doesn't matter because I said so. That is a constitutional crisis.
Rich, what I want to see President Trump and every other president that will follow him say, Democrats, Republicans, I want to work with all of you for the benefit of the American people, period. That's what I want to hear. All these party names and this and that, hiding behind this and that. Silliness. It got us to where we are today. Trillions and trillions of dollars. Every American owes a big amount of money to the government. If the government was able to get out of its $20 trillion debt, all of us would have to put up $56,000 apiece to get the government out of debt. Would we do that? But no, we're just going to keep that money. It's going to keep mounting interest from hell, and there's going to be no end to it. We need leadership to come together and say, how are we going to reduce that trillion dollar debt, 20 trillion and counting every second of the day? How are we going to reduce it?
Can I make one more point, guys? You want to talk about meddling. Several years ago, when the Brexit vote was about to be had in Britain, President Obama wrote an op-ed for the Telegraph, which is the largest, it's the New York Times of England. President Obama, a sitting United States president, wrote an op-ed that appeared in that newspaper that said, "Dear British people, vote against Brexit." And no one even like looked. I remember seeing it. It wasn't strange to me. I didn't think, "Oh my God, there's a vast international conspiracy between the United States and Britain." You want to talk about meddling? We had a president who wrote an op-ed that the entire country of Britain saw saying, telling them how he thought they should vote. Meddling? What world, Mark, are these people with? Like, we can't sustain, guys, with so many people living in a world that is so detached from reality that it's just frightening.
I've got to be able to add to this a very exact point. I can hear our intel in Washington, D.C. saying right now, well, how did they do it? And the other guy saying, Well, it's just like what we did in Colombia when we influenced that election down there with our CIA,
FBI. Thank you, yep.
How many different countries in this universe have we affected clandestinely the election democracy as opposed to communism? The number of countries where we've flown over at 12,000 feet and dropped 45 million flyers that tell them to vote a certain way. The number of people that we've assassinated. Listen, we're the world's premier influencer of elections from sea to shining sea. We've done this. And now all of a sudden somebody's done it to us. We're just going to do. Listen, it's the game. It's the rules of the game.
That's right.
These 12 guys that they arrested, every one of them is a spy. That's what spies do.
That's right.
And now all of a sudden we want to call elections good or bad. We want to use this as an excuse when it's been our inability as an intelligence department to do something to stop it. We know how to do this. We invented this game. We invented it. And now all of a sudden somebody's pulling it on us and we're going, well, he affected the outcome of our election.
And by the way, if Trump went over there and asked Putin, did you have anything to do with it? What answer would you expect him to say? Would you expect him to say, of course I did. I hired those 12 people personally. I had a lot more than that. No, it wasn't going to be that way. The press made this.
How convenient to bring it all out right the week before, too, right, Mike?
Yeah, 2 days before it comes out. It's craziness. I'm not saying it's only Trump. Whether it was anybody in the past, we have to get over this and expect the person who's going over to the meetings, every one of those countries should have a policy statement that they give to the people, not just to negotiate at the round table, but a policy. This is what we're looking to do before we meet again in a year. Let's try to do this.
That's just not.
Larkin is so apoplectic, he can't.
He fell off his seat.
Yeah. I
hope he had his helmet on there, guys.
Did you have a Mai Tai or something?
I flailed my arm and fell right out of my chair.
He's good.
You know, that's not Trump's style. That's not what Trump does. Trump is a business negotiator. And from everything that I've heard, I have no reason to question that he's not pretty good at it. But whatever, I can't attest to that one way or the other. But he's like any other business guy. He understands the landscape. He knows what he wants and what's going to make him and us a better country. And he goes in and negotiates it. Give a little here, take this here, pat him on the back about this, slap him in the face about that. And he just unfortunately screwed up the news conference. But
it's like my old statement, Larkin. Say as little as possible and wait as long as possible to say it. Ladies and gentlemen, as you can hear the music, that is our broadcast for today. I want to say thank you to Larkin, to Rich, to Mark, to Henry Chaplinsky, and to all of you that are going out there to promote the Buy American Made campaign. America needs us. We're going to continue this conversation on our next broadcast until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11. My best to you and yours. Have a great one.
Have a great week, guys. The t-shirts are coming. Let me know if you gained weight.
Thanks, everybody.